welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier, and coming up in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we'll hear Our Miss Brooks with Eve Arden, but right now, Stu Irwin stars in Phone Again, Finnegan. On the air from March of 1946 through March of 47, co-stars Harry Stewart and Florence Lake from July 18th, 1946 on CBS.
Stuart Irwin as Finnegan in...
Phone Again, Finnegan.
Hello, this is Finnegan.
Phone again, Finnegan, here again, there again, on again, off again, phone again, Finnegan. He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, for Finnegan's a wonderful guy.
Yes, friends, it's Phone Again, Finnegan, starring Stuart Irwin as Finnegan, the manager of Welcome Arms Apartment.
For Finnegan's a wonderful guy.
And now for our weekly visit to the Welcome Arms Apartments, managed by Fairchild Finnegan. Faithful followers of these fables will remember that some weeks ago, Finnegan achieved an ambition to be a man among men when he was elected a member of Gabby O'Brien's athletic club. Ever since, Finnegan has been trying to imitate the other members in dress and manners. Panchon Smith, the pretty telephone operator, is having a word about this right now.
Some club. The J.J. O'Brien Social Athletic and Boiled Dinner Association. They all have cauliflower ears and heads to match.
Oh, no, Fanchon. They're a very intelligent group of men.
Mm. Ever since you joined that club, you go around with your collar unbuttoned.
Gabby O'Brien, president of the club, doesn't wear a collar at all.
Oh, well, no wonder he doesn't wear a collar. When he talks, the veins in his neck stick out like stalks of rhubarb.
Well, he has good circulation.
Oh, it worries me to have you running around with those roughnecks. People are always getting hurt at their meetings.
Nothing happened at the last meeting, except when Gabby O'Brien got his thumb stuck in a bowling ball.
Oh, goodness. How'd they get his thumb out of the bowling ball? Did they have to blast?
No. His thumb was so wrinkled, they had to screw it off.
Welcome on.
Hello, kid. Finnegan there? Tell him it's Thorne.
Phone again, Finnegan. One of your fellow athletes, Thorne.
Oh, he's Mr. Gabby O'Brien's right-hand man. Hello?
Hiya, Finnegan. Listen, Gabby O'Brien says, and I quote, "The regular annual World Dinner and Grudge Fight Festival will be just dinner this year. Oh. No fights."
Oh, no grudge fights? Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, it's lamentable. But everybody in the club has been getting along too good to get it. So how can you have a grudge fight if nobody's got no grudge?
Well, I'll look forward to a social hour of good fellowship anyhow.
Yeah, we can still eat. Gabby says your contribution to the Burl dinner is 40 pounds of onions. Large size. Okay.
Well, that's perfectly all right with me. By the way, I've got a little surprise to present the club. A new punching bag.
Yeah, we could use it at that. The old one ain't had much bounce since it got cooked last year.
Cooked?
Yeah, in with the Burl dinner. The cook was also Burl that night. I and Joe McGiddy got saved the punching bag, you see. He was chewing on it like crazy till he come to the laces. Right off, he knew the corned beef don't lace up one side.
Oh.
Well, bye-bye, buddy.
Yeah. Well, Fanchon, I'm going to practice punching the bag so I can show the boys I can take care of myself in the manly art.
Oh, Finnegan, be smart. You're no boxer.
Well, I can learn. I'm strong. I've got a wonderful constitution.
Yeah, but one punch from a man like that McGinty would repeal it.
Oh. Do you know Iron Joe McGinty?
No, we've never met, but that isn't his fault, the big goon.
You mean that McGinty tried to flirt with you?
Every time I pass that corner cafe, he gives me the, "Hello, kid."
Oh.
And I'm sick of it. One wolf at my door is enough.
Yeah, well... I'll have to speak to him about this.
Oh, no, you better not, Finnegan.
It's my duty, Fanchon. It's against the club bylaws to annoy ladies. Yes, I'll have to make McGinty apologize.
Finnegan, are you crazy? That guy's too big. He'll murder you.
Oh, no, he won't. I'll demand an apology, and he'll stand there and listen.
But suppose he gets sore?
Then I'll hang up on him.
Oh, you're going to phone him.
Well, on second thought, Maybe it'd be more dignified if I write a good, scorching letter.
Uh-huh. And you better mail it from Australia.
Oh, he'll never know who wrote it. I'll just sign the letter, anxious. Larson, I want to get this letter just right. Maybe you can help me.
Well, boss, I am a janitor, not advice to the lovelorn.
Oh, it isn't that kind of a letter. It's to a man named McGinty.
Save the paper, boss. I don't think he can read.
Oh, do you know him?
I was on the jury at his second trial for manslaughter.
Huh?
Look out what you write to that geezer, boss. He's built like a brick silo.
He can't scare me. He flirted with Fanchon, and he's got to apologize. Now, shall I be real rude and just say, Dear McGinty, or shall I call him Mister?
Don't get him sore, boss. Start out, Darling Sweetheart McGinty.
No. I want him to know that I'm good and mad.
Oh, well, then, how is this? Dearest pal McGinty, you rat.
Rat is a little strong. I'll make it, you mouse, huh?
Yeah. I tell you, boss, to break it to him easy, you could put it in poetry like this here. Quit making with the yoo-hoo, don't let your eyes get goo-goo.
No, Larson, that's too pretty. he'd think it was a valentine. Now, let's see. It has come to my attention that you have made advances to Miss Fanchon Smith. And I demand that you apologize.
Or I will punch you in the nose.
Good. Or Larson will punch you on the nose.
Not me, boss. You.
Oh, me. Well, maybe we'd better not threaten him at first, huh?
But you got to be tough, boss. Say you think he's a lowbrow, a weasel, and a skunk.
Well, after all, I don't have to sign my name to it. All right, I'm putting it down. In my opinion, you are a lowbrow, a weasel, and a skunk. Respectfully yours, a friend.
Here's an envelope, boss. Let's get that in the mail before it stops sizzling.
Yeah.
Hey, Gabby, leave me in your office. It's dark.
Listen, Gabby, I got great news. We're having a grudge fight after all.
Yeah?
Yeah. It seems like some unknown fella brought a member, right? I endure McGinty a insult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know some member crazy enough to climb in a ring against I endure?
Nah.
One thing it proves. We got insanity in the club. This guy demands an apology off McGinty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the guy that's done it.
May I come in?
Well, Finnegan.
Yeah, it's me. Good evening, Mr. O'Brien.
Hiya.
I mean, hiya.
Hey, Finnegan, guess what? We're having a grudge fight after all.
Oh, good.
Yeah, some dope insulted our best fighter in the club.
Really? Any dope I know?
Nuh-uh.
Oh.
If you want to see this unknown member get his block knocked off, don't miss this fight.
Don't worry. I'll be right there, taking it all in.
Can you imagine, Finnegan? Some guy in the club writes a sassy letter to I endure McGinty.
Ho, 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 ho.
Well, some people certainly... What? To who?
McGinty gets a letter demanding he apologize to this guy. Oh. You made it a mug.
Oh, gosh. Does McGinty know who wrote the letter?
Oh, sure. McGinty gets all his letters read to him by his cousin. His cousin's a detective.
Oh.
Right away, he notices that this guy that wrote it had his return address on the envelope.
Oh.
So they find who he is.
Oh, no.
What goes? You are pale. Something yet?
No. Something I forgot. Listen, suppose I, the other man just didn't show up for the fight.
Huh?
He better had. We got no use for no guy that's yellow. Such a character would get the, what's that word, Gabby?
Ostrich eye.
Yeah. Nobody'd speak to him. Oh. We toss him out of the club.
I see. Well, then, I guess he'll be there. He couldn't be yellow.
No.
No.
No. Mr. O'Brien, could I do a little training at the club here? Punch the bag?
That.
Sure. You give us the new bag. Go on, take a crack at it. No, wait. Stand like this, see?
Uh-huh.
Now lead with the left. Yeah. Volley through with the right. The old 1-2.
Uh-huh. 1-2. How's this? 1-2!
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
He's out.
Yeah. The bag comes back and knocks him cold like a mackerel.
Finnegan, open your eyes. All right, then. Just open the good eye.
That shiner, he got to Butte, ain't it?
Don't speak to me, Mr. Thorne.
Huh?
The idea of bringing Finnegan home in this condition. Who hit him?
Nobody. It was a puncher bag.
Oh. I thought maybe McGinty got that letter.
No, it was a... Wait! What would you say?
Larson says Finnegan wrote and demanded an apology from Iron Jaw McGinty.
He was the one? Oh, listen, I gotta work fast. I'm going back and tip off Gabby. Why, Iron Jaw could murder Finnegan.
Finnegan, I know you're awake. Say something.
Is he gone?
Yeah. Oh, Finnegan. You were sweet to challenge McGinty. But I'll have to get you out of that fight.
No, Fanchon. My honor is at stake. I'm not going to have them saying I got a yellow streak.
Well, it's better to have a little yellow streak than to be black and blue all over.
Hey, I just heard about the boss.
Oh, I'm all right, Larson.
Lie still, boss. You look bad.
Oh, no, it's nothing.
Let me feel your pulse. The heart is fluttering like a poor little frightened bird. When did the fight come off, boss?
Just a punching bag this time.
The fight's tomorrow night. Larson, I need advice. If you had picked a fight with McGinty, what would you do?
Well, boss, first I would put on dark glasses and false whiskers.
Yes?
Then I would buy a one-way ticket to Saskatchewan.
No, I won't run away. I can get in shape. I've always led a clean life.
Yeah, too bad it's almost over.
Finnegan, please, give up this crazy idea.
I can't. I've spent all my life wanting to be in a club like the O'Brien S.A. and B.D.A., and I won't be thrown out.
You'll be carried out, boss. If he ever hits you on the top of the head, you will be seeing the world through a window in your chest.
Well, there's only one thing to do.
You'll apologize to McGinty?
I will not. I'll fight him if it kills me. And I guess it will.
Oh, boss, for my sake.
It's no use, Larson. You may not know it, but I come from a whole family of fighting fools. And I'm the biggest.
When Finnegan heard that another member of the Gabby O'Brien Athletic Club had tried to flirt with Fanchon Smith, he wrote the offender demanding an apology and found he had signed up for a grudge fight before the whole club. His opponent, Iron Jaw McGinty, is known to be a murderous fighter, but Finnegan seems to prefer death before dishonor. Now, on the night of the fight, we find him in his rooms delivering a parting message to his niece, Bunny.
Now, always remember, Bunny, your Uncle Finney wants you to eat your cereal every morning and study hard in school. And never speak to strangers until you've known them a long time.
Yes, Uncle Finney.
And when you're married with a family of your own, tell them your Uncle Finney was game to the end.
Uncle Finney, are you going someplace?
Now, don't worry about me, Bunny. I'm not worried.
Then why are you shaking all over?
Huh? Oh, I'm just doing that to loosen up my muscles.
Why do you want them loose, Uncle Finney?
I can't tell you, Bunny. You're too young to understand.
Okay, Uncle Finney, but don't forget to lead with your left.
Huh?
And keep your chin in.
Bunny, who told you I was going to be in a fight?
All the kids know it, Uncle Finney. I've got 2 sticks of bubble gum on you.
Funny. You know it's wrong to gamble. Especially on me.
I told all my friends you were the best fighter in the world.
Oh, well, thanks.
So go in and win, Uncle Finny.
By golly, Bunny, you're the first one that thought I had a chance. Say, that makes me feel great. Here, give me a hug.
Oh.
Oh.
Did I hurt you?
Just my shoulder. I threw it out today, shadow boxing. My shadow fainted and threw a fast left jab.
Maybe you ought to send your shadow to fight McGinty.
Bunny, you don't think I'm scared of that man, do you?
Well, yeah.
That's what I get for asking somebody who knows me.
Well, aren't you scared?
Why, yes. But I'm going ahead anyhow. Oh.
Hey, boss, it's time to start for the club.
So soon?
Yeah, and I will be in your corner, boss. First, I will be one of your seconds. Then, I will be one of your pallbearers.
Oh, Larson. Well, goodbye, Bunny. Have you got all my fighting equipment, Larson?
I got the most important thing, boss.
What's that?
I got the towel to throw in the ring. Well, boss, you ain't got no rub-down table in your dressing room here, so just lie quiet on the piano. Close your eyes, boss.
All right, but I can't sleep.
Now, fold your hands on your chest, boss.
Like this?
Yeah. I want to see how you will look when your friends pass through to view the body.
Larson.
Relax, boss, and I will make up a song to soothe you. Listen. McGinty is short, he comes up to your shin. The sight will make my heart soften. To see he just comes up to your shin, 'cause he'll come up there so often. People who say you're not strong enough are just a bunch of old crazies. You won't need strength, not after tonight, 'cause you'll be pushing up daisies. The Finnegan fight was a terrible sight. Such horror is seen only seldom. The next day flowers was sent to his house, but he wasn't able to smell them. McGinty's strong and you are soft. As a fighter, you're a fuddy-duddy. McGinty's like a cement mixer, and you're like putty-putty.
Thanks, Larson. But there must be some way to beat McGinty.
Well, yeah, if we only had time to put a flat iron in your boxing glove.
No, I'm going to win this fair and square.
The only thing fair and square in this fight is your complexion and the shape of the ring.
Oh. Well, I'll feel better when I get in there. It's this waiting that gets me. I wish I was in there right now. Oh, they've come for me.
Hiya, Finnegan. Gabby's got news for you.
Huh?
Come on in, Gabby.
Oh, hello, Mr. O'Brien.
Hiya.
Finnegan, you saved Gabby's life one time. Now he saved yours. You ain't fighting McGinty tonight.
I'm not? He's back down? He's going to apologize?
Nuh-uh.
Nah. But there's a rule that to fight a grudge fight in the club, both boys gotta be members, you see?
Yeah.
So Gabby threw McGinty out, so he can't fight you.
Yes, boss. It's like a movie where the governor signs a pardon.
But I don't understand. Did McGinty break some of the bylaws, Mr. O'Brien?
Nuh-uh.
Don't you get it? What Gabby says goes in this club. He just says McGinty is out, so he's out.
You mean McGinty got thrown out just to keep him from fighting me?
Yeah.
But that isn't fair to McGinty. It isn't cricket.
What's this got to do with insects?
I mean, I know how I'd feel if I got thrown out. And if it's just for my sake, I can't accept.
Uh-huh.
No, Mr. O'Brien, it's all wrong. I won't allow it.
Finnegan, you're talking to the boss.
I don't care. I look up to Mr. O'Brien as a sportsman.
Yeah?
And this isn't sporting. I won't let him soil his honor for me.
Is he nuts?
Look, Finnegan, you can't argue with Gabby.
Oh, yes, I can. If he doesn't put McGinney back in the club at once, I'll run against him for alderman. Oh, no. I'll tell everybody he didn't play fair in his own club.
Butch.
Yeah, boss?
Outside.
We'll be back in a minute, Finnegan. Gabby wants a conference.
Huh? Boss, for goodness sake. The man was throwing you a life preserver, and you club him on the head with it.
I know. I'm crazy. But I'm only fighting so these fellows will know I'm a man among men. If I get out of it this way, Larson, I'll have to resign. I can't look myself in the eye.
When McGinty gets through with you, you won't look nobody in the eye. They will both be shot.
Finnegan?
Yeah.
Gabby says like this. He ain't afraid what you could do to him in his own ward, no. But he says you kind of got him, saying he was a square shooter, you know? So go ahead and fight.
McGinty is back in the club?
Yeah, Gabby's telling him now. And Finnegan...
Yes? I don't like backing losers, but I would take it very kindly if you would let me be in your corner also.
Why, thanks.
Don't mention it. Put it there, Finnegan.
Oh, what's that?
Time for the fight, boss. Come on.
Oh, yeah, come on, kid.
Oh, I'm coming. Can each of you take one of my legs and start them walking?
Huh?
They won't do what I tell them to.
Muffin, Muffin, the stool! Don't let the boy see the shape our boy is in.
Boss, you're in the ring.
I know. Why is everybody standing up out there? Why don't they sit down?
Well, they figure this won't go one whole round. They want to get our pets for the feed.
Oh, gosh. Why doesn't McGinty get in the ring? Where is he?
Now, keep cool, Finnegan. He's stalling to make you nervous. It's an old trick.
Yeah, it works, too.
Move your arms, boss. Let me see you throw that old Sunday punch.
Sunday, huh? Well, how did that look?
Like you were trying to catch butterflies.
This must be McGinty coming in.
Oh, well, goodbye, fellas.
Nah, it ain't McGinty yet. It's Gabby. He's coming down the aisle, holding up his mitt for quiet.
Butch.
Yeah, Gabby?
Message.
Somebody writing me a farewell note?
Nah, it's from McGinty. You want I should read this, Gabby?
Yeah.
Fellow members of the J.J. O'Brien Athletic Club and gents, I got it here, a letter. So who it may concern, I and John McGinty just find out that Finnegan stuck back of me tonight when he could have got me thrown out of the club. I was going to beat his ears down.
Oh, is that so?
Quiet, boss.
I was going to beat his ears down, but I ain't fighting no guy like that. No, and I apologize for whatever I done. Whatever it was, which I still don't know what.
He apologized.
So I hope there ain't no hard feelings. And any guy that says that Finnegan ain't top has got me to lick. Signed, Iron Jaw McGinty.
Finnegan.
Yes, sir.
Stand up.
But I'm not going to fight now. He says...
Come out in the center of the ring, Finnegan.
Huh?
Let me hold up your mitt.
Oh.
Members and gents, when one fighter don't show... the other win. So, the winner, Jed Bradlin Finnegan of this club.
Oh, yeah. Please.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Thanks, fellas. I did it, done it, for my girlfriend, Sanchin, and my niece, Bunny, and the Gabby O'Brien S.A. and B.D.A.
Doing, Uncle Kenny? Writing in your diary?
Uh-huh, Bunny. Another chapter in the memoirs of Fairchild Finnegan.
Read me about tonight, Uncle Kenny.
All right. Tonight, I received a belt that shows I am the only man who ever knocked out Iron Jaw McGinty. I feel, however, that I should give other aspiring young men in my club a chance to gain fame. So, I am retiring, undefeated.
Yeah, Uncle Finney. And Not a minute too soon. Oh, no.
Born Again Finnegan, starring Stuart Irwin, is produced in Hollywood by Frank Barrett. The program is directed by Hobart Donovan. Music by Johnny Duffy. Longfellow Larson is played by Harry Stewart and Fanshawe by Florence Lake.
Phone Again Finnegan on Tuned to Yesterday from CBS, heard on July 18, 1946. This show served as leading man Stuart Irwin's main radio vehicle. Prior to that, he was heard on episodes of the variety show The Camel Caravan, The Shell Chateau, and also on the Lux Radio Theater. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now one of the more popular sitcoms from radio's golden era, it's Our Miss Brooks. Eve Arden, Gail Gordon, Jeff Chandler, and more star in this March 6th, 1949 broadcast on CBS.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, is as sociable as the next teacher. Especially if the next teacher happens to be Mr. Philip Boynton. But unfortunately, Mr. Boynton, who teaches biology at Madison, is a rather shy individual.
Yes, indeed. For a fellow who spends so much time studying life, he certainly manages to get very little on him. Of course, there are rumors around the school that I'm that way about Mr. Boynton. Now, I don't know exactly what that way means, but if feeling that way means feeling this way, then I guess I'm that way about Mr. Boynton. Anyway, last week, he accepted my invitation to invite me to the faculty dance Saturday night. And so bright and early Saturday morning, I asked one of my pupils, Walter Denton, to drive me down to the beauty parlor in his jalopy. Unlike the new Hudson, Walter's car isn't one you step down into. His car, most people back away from. It's a very streamlined little job. No windows, no top, and no windshield. All in all, it's the coldest hot rod in town.
If it's too cool for you, Miss Brooks, I can put up the top.
The top? Where is that?
In the back, on the floor.
No, thanks, Walter. It doesn't matter how my hair looks now. Antoine will change me into something believable. I appreciate your giving me this lift today, Walter.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Miss Brooks. A pleasure and a privilege, because I'm so fond of you both as a person and a teacher. You know, that's one thing about Madison High. They sure got some wonderful teachers. Now, take Mr. Boynton.
Granted.
He sure is tops. I ran into him the other night at the movies. Incidentally, he was with another member of the faculty, Miss Enright.
Please, Walter, not so soon after breakfast.
Oh, I forgot. You and Miss Enright aren't exactly stuck on each other.
That, Walter, is an understatement. Now, let's just forget about her, shall we?
Sure, I'll be happy to forget about her. I never think about her much anyway.
Fine. Walter?
Yeah?
Was she sitting close to Mr. Boynton?
Who?
The lady we decided to forget about.
Well, I can practically give you a blow-by-blow because I sat right behind him in the movie.
And what's your report, G2?
Nothing.
Nothing?
They were so dull, I spent half my time watching the picture.
You should have asked for your money back.
Of course, she did whisper a couple of things into his ear, but I couldn't hear what they were very well. She has a funny way of purring when she talks.
There's nothing funny about it. To her, purring comes naturally.
Of course, she tried to hold Mr. Boynton's hand once or twice, but she didn't quite make it.
Why not?
Most of the time, he had it in a bag of popcorn.
Well, it would serve her right if she got salt all over her manicure. Here's the beauty parlor, Walter. Would it be convenient for you to pick me up in a couple of little hours?
Oh, sure, sure. I gotta get a haircut anyhow, and I usually go to Barney's barbershop right down the street. I was thinking of getting a butch haircut this time.
Well, from what I've seen of the kids who get their hair cut at Barney's, he can butch up any kind of a haircut. Hello, Antoine.
Well, if it isn't Miss Brooks. A long time no see, like the man says.
What man?
Oh, there you go. You're not in my shop 2 minutes and you're pulling my leg. But I don't care. I'm delighted to see you at any time. You're such a challenge to a beautician.
Challenge?
Yes, you see, you come into my shop so infrequently, I have to start from scratch each time. Of course, you do have a load of natural beauty.
Thanks, load.
But then so does a rosebush. And even it, with all its natural loveliness, must be properly and frequently cared for in order to retain that beauty. Its soil must be irrigated, its roots watered, its leafy branches gently sprinkled.
Well, don't stand there. Turn the hose on me.
Before I assign you to a booth, tell me, Miss Brooks, what prompted you to come in this morning?
Oh, it's very simple, Antoine. There's a faculty dance at Madison High tonight, and I thought it would be nice to look like a human being.
All the big jobs they bring to Antoine. Well, no matter. It's a feeble artist, indeed, who cannot rise above his subject. I shall make you my masterpiece. All I ask in return is that you promise to visit Antoine's once a week.
Aren't you forgetting something? I'm a schoolteacher. You know, it isn't an accident that we of the faculty have a faculty for always looking like the faculty. Beauty parlors are a luxury we can rarely afford.
Well, apparently that doesn't apply to all teachers. One of my best customers is a teacher. In fact, she has an appointment here in a few minutes. Miss Enright, do you know her?
Yes, we both teach English at Madison.
Oh, then you and Miss Enright have something in common.
I suppose you could call in that, yes.
Oh, she's a wonderful person. Very active in the Parent Teachers Association and in all sorts of civic functions. What do you think of her?
She's fine. Good teacher.
Confidentially, I don't like her either. And even though I should be grateful for the new customers I get through her connections, I can't help feeling that she's very overbearing. That's my honest opinion, and when it comes to people, I believe that honesty is the best policy.
Well, here I am, Antoine.
Miss Enright, how wonderful to see you.
Your policy just lapsed.
Why, Miss Brooks, what are you doing in a beauty parlor?
Oh, I just thought I'd let Antoine do a little lily gilding.
I haven't started yet. I'm going to make Miss Brooks look like a thing of beauty.
Is there time? This is Saturday, you know. We have to be back at school by Monday.
Oh, I'll make it. Antoine's going to put more men on the job.
Well, if you'll excuse me for a moment, I'll arrange booth 3 for you, Miss Enright.
Oh, do that, Antoine. Miss Brooks, now that we're alone, there's something I think you should know.
That you were at the movies with Mr. Boynton last night?
Well, how did you... Were you there, too?
No, just my emissary.
I must admit, Miss Brooks, I thought you'd be a little more upset about it.
Upset? Me? Because Mr. Boynton chooses to go out with another English teacher? Of course I'm not upset. In fact, I had quite a laugh over it.
A laugh?
I thought I'd split my infinitive. You see, I happen to know that Mr. Boynton once heard the expression, let's live a little.
Yes.
So that's what he does. He lives as little as possible. No, I'm not worried about what Mr. Boynton does when he's not with me.
Look, Miss Brooks, I like to do things in an open and above board manner. I'm going to lay my cards on the table.
Good. Take them out of your sleeve and deal. What's the first card?
Just this. I know you've booked Mr. Boynton for the faculty dance tonight, but remember, there's always tomorrow, and I don't give up easily.
Well, good for you, Salty Nails.
Don't underestimate me, my dear. The next time Mr. Boynton and I walk down a middle aisle, it may not be in a theater.
Be sure to invite me to the wedding. And Miss Enright, if you ever become a mother, remember, I'd love one of the kittens.
Ready for you now, Miss Enright.
Yes, coming, Antoine. I'll see you and Mr. Boynton at the dance, Miss Brooks.
I'll be looking forward to it with considerable revulsion.
Oh, booth 3. Here it is.
Sit right down here, Miss Enright.
Antoine, before you do anything for me, I want you to take care of Miss Brooks.
But your appointment...
I'll wait. There's a certain way I want you to take care of Miss Brooks. First of all, I want you to comb her hair up in back and give her bangs in front.
But that wouldn't suit her face at all.
Exactly. Then I want you to be sure and see that she's got pounds of makeup on. Plenty of rouge, eyeshadow, everything.
But she won't like that.
Neither will Mr. Boynton. I know the type. And whatever you do, don't let Miss Brooks look into a mirror. Tell her to wait for her first reaction from a member of the opposite sex.
But, Miss Enright, suppose she doesn't want me to...
She'll agree to anything you suggest. She knows you're an expert beautician.
Well, then how can I betray her faith in me? I'd feel like a traitor. A despicable traitor.
Antoine, dozens of women patronize this shop at my suggestion. And at my suggestion, they go elsewhere. Now, are you going to give Miss Brooks the works or not?
Well, Benedict Arnold made a nice living for years. There we are, all finished. Remember now, no mirrors, Miss Brooks.
All right, Antoine, if you say so. I'll leave it up to the public. Oh, there's Walter parked as usual, right in front of a fire plug. Well, here I am. Let's go.
Sorry, lady. I'm waiting for Miss Brooks.
Take another look, Walter. It's me.
Holy cow! Get in quick. I'll take you to the receiving hospital. Or better yet, I'll give you first aid. I'm the Red Cross chairman of our class, you know.
Well, why do I need first aid?
Your mouth. It's all cut.
Oh, you're just not used to seeing me with lipstick on. Start the car, Walter. I didn't intend to take so long. Mrs. Davis will be wondering what happened to me.
When she sees you, she'll still be wondering. Gosh, that hair comb. Those bangs.
What's wrong with these bangs? Are they too long?
Well, in all the time you've known me, Miss Brooks, have I ever consciously been fresh or tried to hurt your feelings?
No, Walter, never.
Then I can answer your question honestly. They're not long enough. They're frustrating, Miss Brooks.
What are you talking about, Walter?
Well, they start out all right, but just when they really get going, boom, they stop. Right at the tip of your nose.
Oh, that's just a few hairs that were blown out of place in this hopped-up pie plate of yours. How do I look otherwise?
Well, frankly, Miss Brooks, I thought you were more beautiful without all that stuff. I mean, oh, gosh, with your natural beauty, you could have been a famous stage actress or even a model or a big movie star. I've often wondered, what made you become a school teacher anyway?
I couldn't resist the money. Well, Walter took me home from Antoine, and as my new bangs and I entered the front door, my landlady, Mrs. Davis, came out of the living room. Hello, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, how do you do, madam? If you're looking for Miss Brooks, she isn't in. I'm her landlady.
Well, maybe I can refresh your memory. Good morning, Mrs. Davis. I can't pay the rent till next week.
Connie Brooks, where in the world did you get that makeup?
Antoine's beauty parlor.
You didn't leave much there, did you? Although I suppose it is attractive to a male.
By the way, has he called?
Mr. Boynton, you mean? Not this morning, Connie. And I know why you didn't get any calls last night, either.
Why?
I discovered our phone wasn't working. But I fixed it about an hour ago.
You fixed it?
Yes, I went downtown and paid the bill. You know, Connie, as one gets used to your new look, it's not half bad.
Well, I should hope not. After spending 3 hours in a hot booth, the least I can expect... I'll get it. Hello?
Well, hello, Miss Brooks. This is Mr. Boynton. I thought I'd better call to ask what time I can pick you up tonight. I wouldn't want to barge in without giving you ample time to get ready.
Oh, you can come over any time, Mr. Boynton. It never takes me more than a few minutes to fix up.
Well, then I'll be over about 7. You know, I tried to reach you several times last night, but your phone was out of order.
Yes, I just heard about it.
I was quite disappointed when you didn't answer, but while I was combing some new white mice I've acquired, Miss Enright dropped by and asked me if I wanted to go to the movies.
What did you do with the other mice? Where did you go after the movie? Ice cream parlor?
Oh, no, I was full. The popcorn's very good at the Paramount.
Yes, I know. Don't they have a slogan that goes, if it's a Paramount picture, it's the best popcorn in town?
Well, I don't know about that, Miss Brooks, but this wasn't a Paramount picture. It was an independent, and not a very good one. In fact, as I once heard Jack Benny say, they should have kept the picture and released the producer.
That's a hot one. What was the picture about, Mr. Boynton?
It was about some girl with a lot of money who wants her sweetheart to quit being a poor songwriter and work in her father's doorknob factory.
Does he?
No, but he writes a big hit song after they separate. And when he's got as much money as her father, he asks her to marry him again. And this time she says yes.
I can't understand it.
Me either. You ought to see the girl this fellow proposes to. She's got 2 inches of makeup on and she wears bangs.
Bangs?
The most ridiculous looking getup you ever saw. How any man in his right mind could fall for anybody like that. Well, I won't keep you any longer, Miss Brooks. I'll pick you up at 7. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, I wish I hadn't let Walter go home. He could have taken me back to Antoine's.
I'll get it, Connie. Well, Osgood Conklin, how is Madison's handsome principal today?
Fine, Margaret, fine. As you know, my wife's preparing all the refreshments for the dance tonight, and she wondered if you'd be kind enough to help her out with a few sandwiches.
Why, of course, Osgood. Shall I make the same kind of sandwiches I did last time? White fish and peanut butter?
No. No, thank you. I've brought some
Hello,
things.
Mr. Conklin.
Miss Brooks has been to the hairdresser's, Osgood. Doesn't she look interesting?
Well, I really don't know. It's hard to tell. I can see you all right, Miss Brooks, but how in the world can you see me?
Oh, it's easy, Mr. Conklin. I just blow a little, and there you are. As a matter of fact, I've got to get back to the beauty parlor right away. Do you think you could give me a lift?
I suppose so, Miss Brooks. And Mrs. Davis, you'll find the ingredients for the sandwiches in this package right here.
All right, Osgood. I'll get started right away. See you later, Connie.
Goodbye, Mrs. Davis.
Well, come along, Miss Brooks. I'll drop you off at white fish and peanut butter?
As I recall, Mr. Conklin, the beauty parlor's only a couple of blocks past your house, so I won't be taking you too far out of your way.
Well, that's perfectly all right, Miss Brooks. I hope you'll forgive me for seeming so taken aback when you first came in, but, well, you did look quite unlike a school teacher.
Is that bad?
On Saturdays, no. In fact, I rather admire a woman who takes the time to enhance her charms. Confidentially, I've been trying to stampede Mrs. Conklin into a beauty salon for years, but she just can't see it. Doesn't believe in powder, rouge, lipstick, none of the refinements.
What does she want with refinements? She's got you. That is, she's got you.
Excuse me, we're just passing my house. I always honk the horn when I'm in the neighborhood. Gives my wife and daughter a feeling of security. But as you just said, Miss Brooks, she's got me. That's the trouble. She doesn't have to patronize beauty shops to hold on to me, and she knows it. Of course, if she had some reason to be jealous of me, she... Jealous. Miss Brooks, do you think that if Martha were jealous...
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Conklin, but if you'll just pull up here, this is Antoine.
Where?
It's that little building with the dimple in the door. Thanks for the lift, Mr. Conklin.
You're welcome, Miss Brooks. And we can pursue the topic of my wife's peccadilloes at the dance tonight.
Oh, definitely. I'm one of the best peccadillo dancers in town.
Well, that does it, Miss Brooks.
Am I completely plain again, Antoine?
If you were any plainer, you'd fade right into the woodwork.
Yoo-hoo! I'm home, Mrs. Davis.
She should be back any... Oh, wait a minute. She just came in. Come to the phone, Connie. It's Mr. Boynton.
Again? I wonder what he wants now. Thanks, Mrs. Davis. Hello?
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. Mrs. Davis told me you were at the beauty shop. I was delighted to hear that.
Delighted, Mr. Boynton?
Yes. You see, I was afraid you might misconstrue my remarks about the girl in the movie and think that I dislike all spectacular hairdressings. Actually, the new styles fascinate me.
They do?
Yes. What sort of hairdo did you get, Miss Brooks?
Well, what I got was more of a hair don't. But I'm sure you'll like what I'm going to get again, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, fine. When we walk into that dance tonight, I want those other teachers to really notice you. I've even bought a brand new blue serge suit.
Do you think it'll fit me?
That's a hot one. I'll see you at 7. Goodbye, Miss Brooks.
Goodbye, Mr. Boynton. Well, back to the beauty parlor. You know something, Mrs. Davis?
What, Connie?
In moments like these, I almost wish I was Mrs. Conklin. What am I saying?
I'll have to be going down to the gym now, Martha. I want to see if it's fixed up properly for the dance tonight.
Very well, dear. Oh, don't forget the keys to your car. They're on the table in the hall. And Osgood, I must say the car took a lovely polish. I got a glance at it when you were driving past the house with some woman.
Yes. Well, I was just... You saw me driving with some woman, Martha?
Yes, dear, I did.
Well, there's no need to be jealous, of course, but she was quite pretty, don't you think?
Oh, I'm sorry, Osgood. I didn't get a very good look at her. I was carrying some cold cuts at the time.
If you must know, she was gorgeous.
The cold cuts were quite popular last year.
Don't evade the issue, Martha. Who was that woman you saw me with this morning?
Oh, I know that. That's a hot one.
I repeat, who was that woman, Martha?
What woman? Oh, in the car with you. Well, really, Osgood, you drive so many women from the Board of Education around.
This one wasn't from the Board of Education. Far from it.
Oh, please, dear. You're leaning against the potato salad.
Why don't you admit it, Martha? You're jealous.
5 loaves of white. That should be enough.
Martha, I said you were jealous.
Yes, dear. Now, where did I put the rye bread?
Martha, you're not even listening to me.
Hello, Dad.
Hello! Oh, sorry. I mean, hello, Harriet.
Harriet, you've been crying. Is something wrong, dear?
Oh, everything's wrong. Walter Dent told me he had to pick up Miss Brooks, but when I saw him, he was riding around with some creature in fangs. I'm going up to my room now, Mother. And if Walter calls, just tell him I've taken a slow boat to China.
All right. But after you've brooded a while, please come down and help me find the rye bread.
Oh, Mother!
Now there's a girl who will make some man a fine wife. Insanely jealous.
Oh, here's the rye bread. I do hope I win the door prize this year.
Don't think I'm past noticing pulchritude, Martha. I'm still just a boy at heart. You know why I gave that other woman a lift in my car? Because she'd just come from the beauty shop. You hear me, Martha? I was bedazzled. If it hadn't been for all the powder and that store-bought hair...
That man of mine wouldn't have gone nowhere, nowhere.
So what's the use?
Hello again, Miss Brooks. Tilly, prepare booth number 4. And now then, Miss Brooks, you said on the phone you wanted something fascinating, so I've decided to give you the famous Antoine Marcel.
Is it really exciting, Antoine?
Exciting? This is the very same coiffure I copied hair by hair from Gorgeous George.
Fine. Just give it to me, and then I'll wrestle you for the bill.
It's ought to be a very successful dance, Miss Brooks. Quite a few people in the gym.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Boynton. And at the sound of the next voice, there will be one people too many.
Oh, there you are. Good evening, Mr. Boynton.
Good evening, Miss Enright.
The next number is a waltz, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, is it?
Yes, and I'm just dying to waltz.
Well, you do that. Mr. Boynton and I will be right behind you.
Look who just came in. It's Mrs. Conklin, isn't it?
Yes, but in a backless evening gown and an upswept hairdo.
And I thought I was overdone. Alongside of Mrs. Conklin, I look like Carrie Nation after a bad night.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Conklin.
Hello, Mrs. Conklin.
Don't let me scare you. I got myself up like this to teach Osgood a lesson. I wonder what he'll say when he sees me.
Well, you won't have to wait long to find out. He's coming over now.
Hello, folks. I see we have a newcomer in our midst, and a very charming one at that. Osgood Conklin at your service,
Mrs. Conklin.
Well, I'm delighted to make your... Mrs. Conklin.
Hello, Osgood.
Martha, what in the world? Your hair, your... Well, if that is... Your face is... Of all the...
You look lovely, my dear. I'm going to have every dance with you tonight. Oh, Boynton.
Oh, yes, Mr. Conklin?
I'd like you to take over my duties as host at the front door, if you please.
Oh, but, sir, Miss Brooks and I were
to the door, to... Boynton.
Yes, sir.
Come along, Martha. If it hadn't been for powder and that store-bought hair, I wouldn't have...
Oh, Miss Enright.
Yes, Miss Brooks?
Shall we dance? Mr. Boynton got away from the door just in time to ask me for the last half of the last dance.
You look lovely tonight, Miss Brooks. And I feel I put you to a lot of trouble today.
Oh, it was nothing. Of course, I did lose about 5 pounds, but it was mostly around the scalp.
Attention, attention, please. Ladies and gentlemen of the faculty, it is my pleasure at this time to announce the winner of the door prize. She is none other than our Miss Brooks. Congratulations, Miss Brooks.
Thank you, Mr. Conklin.
I know you're all anxious to find out what the door prize is. Well, I have here a ticket, Miss Brooks, entitling you to one free treatment at Antoine's Beauty Parlor.
Mr. Conklin, would you tell me one thing?
What's that, Miss Brooks?
Is this for putting on or taking off?
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Soap, Your Beauty Hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo.
Our Miss Brooks on Tuned to Yesterday from March 6th, 1949 on CBS, bringing to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.